This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
It's a pleasure to welcome John Bolton, former ambassador to the United Nations for the Bush administration, former national security advisor for the Trump administration, commenting in Australia about what we see right now is a moving story and history in the making. Peace is the word used for the end of the Gaza conflict so far. However, John, a very good evening to you. I read your very careful explication of what happens next, and I come to a connection with Gideon Rockman, the distinguished foreign affairs columnist for the Financial Times, the pink sheet out of London, and I read every morning because it's not us, it's them watching us, and it's a pleasure. Gideon Rockman writes, "The next really big question is whether Hamas will genuinely disarm and disband, and Israel will withdraw." I'll stop right there because you've identified those as also necessary to continue the momentum. What is it that would mitigate right now the disarming? Is there a mechanism? What do we know, John? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, I think it's part of the problem that we don't know what the mechanism for disarming is going to be, and that's just not some set of details to be worked out by technical experts. It goes to the basic question whether there really is an agreement here beyond the release of the hostages and the release on Israel's part of up to 2,000 Palestinian prisoners, including 250 serving life sentences for active participation in terrorism. That's a net increase of 2,000 supporters for radicalism, both in Gaza and the West Bank, not people likely to come out of prison for where they've been for some period of time and say, "Oh, why don't we just give the whole thing up now?" It is not anything that understates the importance of getting the hostages returned. But there's no real path here. The Trump 20-point plan is a series of steps and aspirations, but it's not connected very well. And this next stumbling block, the issue of Hamas disarming, really is the critical point. Of course, even if they do, that doesn't guarantee much either, because there are other Palestinian terrorist groups, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, and others that are still out there. But Hamas right now is in control of parts of Gaza. And I don't see them giving it up. They had a signing ceremony in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt today for the peace deal, for the hostage exchange. And everybody showed up. European leaders showed up. Arab leaders showed up. Obviously, President Trump was the center of attention. There were just a few missing parties: Hamas, Israel, and Iran. And I think that sets the table right there.
Further with Mr. Rockman's column, if Hamas's disarmament doesn't happen, then the next stages of the plan begin to look very doubtful. And he asked this question: would a team of Palestinian technocrats really be able to take over the running of Gaza if Hamas remains in place? The answer is pretty much no. Is there a plan B here, John, for these technocrats? Because without enforcement, their lives are at risk.
Well, exactly. You need authority and you need power. And there's no mechanism here. There have been a lot of reports about how 200 Americans are on the ground in Israel to monitor the development of the plan. That's right. But they're in Israel. They're not in the Gaza Strip. There'll be a board of peace chaired by Donald Trump with former British Prime Minister Tony Blair involved. But that's great. Who's going to pay attention to them when they try and do things in Gaza if they don't have control over it? So nobody doubts the goodwill of the people who have tried to put this together, and the aspirations are fine, but it does remind you of right at the end of World War One, comparing to Trump's 20-point plan, Woodrow Wilson had his famous 14 points for peace after World War One, and the French Prime Minister, Georges Clemenceau, said, 14 points, that's pretty strong. The good Lord himself only had 10.
The release of prisoners by Israel. I read through some of the names. They've been in jail for two decades. They are middle-aged men who we do not believe have in any way been de-radicalized in jail. They're Islamic Jihad, they're Fatah, they're Hamas. Immediately, all three organizations gained senior commanders in a way that is similar to how the five released Taliban executives by the Obama administration are now very much in power in Doha and Kabul. Do we expect a different outcome from these senior figures who are multiply indicted and condemned for murder and kidnapping and torture?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I think this is now a group very hardened by their experience in prison. And we've heard from people criticizing Israel's military action in Gaza for some time how the force applied against Hamas is going to cause more radicalization. Have all those theories gone away? I mean, I think we are where we are right now because 2 years after the barbaric attack of October the 7th in 23, Israel has pounded Hamas severely, but it has not destroyed it. And that was the stated aim of Israel's military response going right back to the very beginning. And it doesn't look like it's been achieved yet. Now, we still have things to learn about that. But I think just because the hostages have been released is no necessary proof that other steps will be taken. I think the events that led to the hostage release are not likely to be repeated. And the biggest immediate cause was the Israeli strike on a meeting of Hamas leaders in Doha, in Qatar, that failed to kill all the top leaders. We don't know exactly who the casualties were, but that strike against the Qataris, which Trump didn't think he got adequate notice of, I think set him off on saying he was going to do something. And it's involved not just the hostage exchange, but basically an Article 5 guarantee to Qatar, not to Saudi Arabia, not to the United Arab Emirates, but to Qatar. And I don't think Netanyahu is going to make that kind of mistake again.
We have a couple of minutes, John, and you point to Iran in your article asking hard questions. What are you watching for of Iran? They did not attend, but they've condemned the prisoner exchange and the apparent cessation of hostilities. Where are they going?
Well, I think there's every reason to believe they will try to provide assistance to Hamas. They, along with others in the region, really were responsible for giving Hamas a lot of its military capabilities. It was all part of Iran's ring of fire strategy against Israel that was put in motion on the infamous October 7th. It has failed, but it has not completely defeated any of the various parts, including Iran. There's a lot of reporting, for example, that Iran has resumed activity at new locations on its nuclear program at a place called Pickaxe Mountain near Natanz, which was a uranium enrichment site, another site at Esfahan, a major center of Iran's nuclear activities. So if that's accurate, we haven't seen the real end of the war against Iran, certainly by Israel. And we can expect some activity from Israel in the not too distant future. So if Iran is trying to revive its nuclear program, there's every reason to think it's going to try and revive its terrorist proxies, not just Hamas, but Hezbollah, which has been severely wounded, the Houthis in Yemen, not very wounded at all, frankly, the Shia militia in Iraq and others.
John Bolton, former ambassador to the United Nations, former national security advisor. Questions to be answered over the next days, weeks, months, years. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.